with you always. I am with you always. That is not in our bags. It's not in our shoes. He is in us. So in the resurrection, God came to man. He became neighbors. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. John 14:1-3. Prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Then in verse 20, now says, in that day, or verse 18, says, I will not leave you comfortless. John 14:18. I will what? When is that? Is he in the resurrection? In the resurrection, he will come to us. Verse 20 now says, I will, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, he in me, and where? I in you. I in. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he is now in us. So, that is, he came close, he came near. And we said that that's the meaning of neighbor. Abi? Blessing, neighbor means the one who what? Comes near and shows mercy. We saw that already from the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 10. The Good Samaritan. I remember that now. The Good Samaritan, when Jesus said, there was a man who was wounded among thieves, left by the roadside, half dead, and then the priest came, he crossed over to the other side. He said, I can't touch anything that is unholy. Then the Levite came, he also crossed over. Then a Samaritan came. We are not calling Good Samaritan. A Samaritan came, and then he helped the wounded. You know, he helped the wounded. He bound his wounds, paid for his treatment. He didn't know him from anywhere. And he said, if there's any other thing that you spent, I will pay for it when I come back. And Jesus said, who is neighbor to the person who was wounded? Then they said, the one who came near and showed mercy. And Jesus said, you to go likewise, Luke 10:37, and show mercy. So, who is a neighbor? A neighbor is one who what? Comes near, and is that what Jesus did for us when he rose from the dead? He came near and he showed mercy. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But in Revelation chapter 21 verse 3, I'll just quickly read that. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men. He dwells with them. And of course, we know that how does God dwell with men? He dwells in us. Say, he dwells in me. He lives in me. So the resurrection itself is a relationship. God came close. God came close. And so we must learn to pick our core beliefs from God's word. Our core beliefs. You can't afford to trust in yourself. Proverbs 20:28. Those who trust themselves are fools. They are not wise. You can't afford to be your own wisdom. You can't afford to be your own mentor. God's word ought to mentor you. God's word ought to be the basis of how you think, how you act. Sometimes before you act, just think about it. Is this God's word? Am I acting God's word? Am I acting on God's word? Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools. Some folks say, I don't take that nonsense. I don't take that nonsense. I don't take nonsense. But you know, sometimes by trusting in God and acting on God's word, you will take nonsense. Right? And someone will do something to you and you say, okay. Hallelujah. Was it last week? Maybe 25 year old or 24, perhaps even younger. Now there's nothing with the age. I'm not saying I'm older than the person. And then he just came and then he said, saying, and the way she was talking. I said, why are you talking to like that? Now, number one, your senior colleague at work. What else? Age wise, I'm way older than you. I said, who are you talking to? He said, of course it's you. You know, ladies, I don't know. Not the ladies in this church. You know. It's you. And someone said, don't talk to pastor like that. I said, no, leave her. He said, no, I will express my mind. You know, the sign of the beast. He said, I will express my mind. Nobody can show. what I said. And the other shepherd said, no, let us see what she wants to say. You can't win a soul by winning an argument. So let her express everything. Me, I will not express my own. So when she was done, she walked away and everything. And then I saw her and I called her. Said, she thought I probably wanted to give her my own, we call it peace of mind. So I said, no. Say, why did you talk like that the other time? Is anything hurting you? Is anything bothering you? Is there someone that offended you? Is your result, did it come out fine? I should say, I feel like, even the friends that stayed at bay, they thought I wanted to, you get, they were expecting to hear, never in your life, I'm going to report it to you. That's the point. So she was looking, she, her mouth wide open. And so, and next time when something is bothering you, don't vent it on everyone. I'm not talking, you can even vent it on me. Yet, but don't talk to people. You don't know the person you're talking to sometimes, eh? She said, thank you, sir. You see? But, if I was not born again, I probably not have shouted too. I probably not have shouted. I don't fancy shouting that much. It just drains your energy. Well, I'll probably have, you understand? Let's leave that one. Because I grew up in Ibadan. So the way I would talk, she might not feel fine the next day. I won't touch you. You might just not feel fine. You know, there's something called mental health. But, you cannot say, I don't take that nonsense. Oh my God told me, no, sometimes the Bible makes you take nonsense. And you just go like a fool. Just go like a fool. Just say, okay. Yeah, I've heard. But can we say, shut up? I said, okay. Can we talk later? Hallelujah. So I said, but Pastor, it's not easy. It's not easy. I don't think I might be a Christian, but I'm not a mumu. That statement itself is mumuish. Because Jesus was a mumu. The Bible says, like sheep led to slaughter. They said a lot of things against him. He spoke not a word. Peter said, there was no guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not back. That means, they were saying things to Jesus. He didn't say anything. They accused him of anything. He was just looking at them. He just said, okay. Imagine God himself. Imagine God himself. They were talking to him. Are you the king of the Jews? Let me set you free now. He said, whatever you say. He said, you know where you are standing in front? You know where you are standing in front of? That what Pilate was saying. Jesus was looking. You. Do I know the place I'm standing in front of? You. Who are you? You know, some of you are God. And Jesus, he said. And Pilate said, do you know the place you are standing in front of? Pilate Omo Abeke. Your great-grandfather. Your great-grandfather, Julius. Your upper great-grandfather. Before Abraham was I am. Who are you, Pilate? Because of that, your head leave your neck. Imagine you boasting in front of God about who you are. And he said, okay. So, where did you now get your own boasting from? Little eat, they eat your car. You already come down. Do you know who I am? Who are you? Like a joke I heard one time like that. So then, myself and my cousin, we went to an hotel. And then, the receptionist was acting somehow. And my cousin said, do you know who we are? I asked him, who are we? Most people who say, do you know who I am? They are nobody. You check it really. They are actually nobody. I was telling that the people who have influence and who can wield the power, they don't say it. You just walk away and you see soldiers coming to carry you. You beat him and will not say anything. Hallelujah. I recall in Ife, one guy that the porter harassed. So he didn't know that the father was actually a commissioner in Osun State. As they were harassing him, he just, okay. He just walked in and made the call. His roommates were saying, make it! Of course, you know, that kind of, you want drama in this thing. Before you know it, wow. The way they carry the porter. You can never walk in that West again. Alright, but, that boastfulness, as it were, is there something like that? That says, do you know who I am? Is not from the Bible. You did not learn that culture from God's word. And so, we pick our ideologies from the scriptures. You can't say, I don't take nonsense. By God's word, you will take nonsense. Sometimes your confession will be, I take nonsense. Spirit of God. You have to take it. Hallelujah. Don't say, I can never. No. You say, I act on God's word. Don't say, I can never be. No. I will always act on God's word. Hallelujah. So, we see that resurrection is a friendship, the resurrection is marriage, the resurrection is also neighboring. Neighboring, which means to go near, and what? And show mercy. Just your friends? Eh? Who demands love? Only your friends? Oh, those who like you? Who demands your love? How about your enemies? Eh? How about strangers? Eh? It is very ungodly to show love to only the people that love you. In fact, Jesus says, sinners agapao. Jesus says, agape is the love of God. That's not true. Jesus says, sinners also love sinners. And the word there was agape. So, you are no different from someone who is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. When you love only those who love you. The Bible teaches to love every man. Say, for he hates me. Eh? You love him. Say, for pastor, it's not easy. Hallelujah. It should be easy. You train yourself to do it. Sometimes, it's even the person that is wrong, you are the one that is right. It happens in your workplace every time. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? But if someone had this part, and the truth is, because I expected more from him. So why are you talking like this? Why do you talk like this? So it started bad too. I just found myself angry. I was just angry. I didn't detect in the first 5 minutes. So that you know that I also faced this. In the first 5 minutes, I said, what's this? Then I said, we're just going through work. We're not asking each other anything. Normally, he's going to tell me, so there's this patient. He's presenting with us, what do you think I should do? Not that he doesn't know what to do, you get. Just a second opinion. I will have asked too. You know, I don't think, should I use a diclofenac? Should I use metoxalicylate? You get something like that. But we are not asking. I knew the devil had stepped in. So when I saw him, I just held his hand. You won't vex for me. You must find it easy. Most of the times, what gets in the way is ego. You just want to be, let's see the person that will beg first. What that? Then. You are looking for the person that will beg first. Let's see the person that will talk to each other first. So what will you gain? By coming on top in that competition, you gain the medal of the devil. You say, that's my son. You know I'm well pleased. He doesn't beg people. No. Imagine if I had not done that. I'll be here teaching walking in love. And there's someone I'm not talking to. That is hypocrisy. And it's not of God. So sometimes, and the funny thing is, he was the one that was wrong. That's the funny thing. But sometimes you have to put the role of Mr. Wrong. You put on the clothes of Mr. Wrong. And you go and beg. That will make me feel like a fool. Even as I'm the one that was wrong. No, what does God's word say? It's not about what people will say. And I think that's where we get things wrong. We are always bothered about what we people say. And we don't check what did God say. What has God said about this thing? Did God say, I should not forgive my neighbor? Eh? Say it very well. Did God say, when people offend me, we'll fight the blood to death? What did he say? Forgive. So, loving your neighbor is not much of kidding than practical. It's practical. How can you be speaking in tongues and you have someone you don't talk to? Like I said, Rebo Gozozo, Erechino Zozo. What are you just knowing about? I am who he says I am. The dark has nothing on me. But you know, unforgiveness is also part of the dark. Or you think it's just evil forces. When you live in unforgiveness, when you live in bitterness, when you bear a grudge, when you gossip, that's the dark. So when you say, the dark has nothing on me, you're also talking about unforgiveness. That is, I will always live in forgiveness, the dark has nothing on me. Hallelujah. So, we take our core ideologies from the Bible. We act on God's word. So, again, we see that in the resurrection, Jesus is our neighbor. He's our neighbor. Some people think, when they don't forgive people, it makes them look principled. No. It makes you oppose God. Not principled. That's a nonsense principle. So, someone offends you, or you offend them, and then, you go. Now, I'm saying especially ladies, women. I say, Pastor, what do you have with women? Nothing. But all of us know that I'm right. You see what I did? That I held that person's hand. I said, how far now? Hey, women. As you heard Anna, if you remove Kokoshu,
that's up to you. You know, leave me, you are not in this office.
I don't know what's wrong. Don't be like that. Sisters, eh? Naturally, even unbelieving guys, you know, they find it easy. As you say, why do you push me now? Why do you push me now? What do you do that time? I don't like him. And guys are done. Except the core ones that the devil has possessed. I don't know who will still be in a cult in 2021. I mean, you are still taking cult class about. How foolish can you be? 2021. I mean, this is the, even if you are ungodly, enjoy your life. Which one is using cult class? You are chasing each other about. That is not, it doesn't make sense naturally. Except those ones, that's a nation. Hallelujah. I don't know what kind of belief is that, but that's a nation. But naturally, you should be able to forgive people. You should be able to, someone offends you, should be able to walk together and say, see, let's forget that. Let's forget it and move on. So it makes me look weak. No. It means you are following God's word. And you know what? You will feel good after it. You know what I mean? Let me see your hands, eh? You will feel good. You feel good. The peace of God will guide you. Hallelujah. So, in the resurrection, we are good neighbors. Again, does it make you principled? Don't take your principles and your love walk from movies. Eh? Where you have to avenge every time. So let's see what it means to be a neighbor. In Leviticus 19, I already said I want us to be... In Leviticus 19 verse 18, thou shalt not avenge. No, some Christians are avengers. Sorry, I have not watched it. Is Spider-Man part of them? Spider-Man is part of Avengers. Is it? Tell me, it doesn't make you look weak. What about Batman? Which other man do we have? The man in Christ. Superman is also part. Who is it? Thanos. I know Thanos. He's not Avengers. Who are now? That's the real Avengers. That's the one I mean. So because I saw that one on social media every time. Knuckles and all. Really? He's a villain. Okay. Some Christians are Spider-Man. Avenging. You always want to show that you came up on top. You don't have to. You will not avenge. Let's go to 19:18. Can we read together? Everybody wants to go? Yeah. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear grudges. You will love your what? Your neighbor as. Because you don't keep a grudge with yourself. And you don't avenge yourself. You don't revenge on yourself. That's exactly what you would do to your neighbor. So again, if we don't know what neighborhood looks like or neighboring looks like, Moses helps us out. Number one, you will not avenge. Let it be part of your life. Why are we saying this? The gospel tutors us, right? By the reason of the gospel, it changes our identity and our belief system. Good. Make it part of your ideology and core life principles. That you don't revenge. Don't say, but the person now feel bad for what they did. They don't need to. I don't like this message. How someone do bad to me and you will not feel bad that you did. Don't worry. We saw it last week, right? Let God save you. Do not avenge. Let God save you. Don't revenge. Also, don't bear grudges. We saw that last week. What does it mean to bear a grudge? I gave you the dictionary definition. Abhor bitterness, resentment, right, towards someone for something that they did. To accommodate anger, resentment, bitterness. You are just, when you just see the person, you just feel bad. You feel like the ground should swallow them up. Let me tell you something. God does not hate the people you hate. You get? God does not hate the people. The fact that you hate someone does not mean God will hate the person. So the better... The earlier you reckon with that, the better. You will not bear a grudge. There is nothing Christian about being angry. Okay, ask around. No, just ask around. I don't get angry. Yeah, that's my point. Imagine someone talking to the leader. I'm talking to your leader. No. I don't get angry. Why are you doing like this? If I'm the one you are doing like that, I will can't. I don't get angry. Now, that's not the issue. This is the sign of the beast. This is not the, you must be cultured. when I inform people who correct you, you give yourself sense. Eh? There's I don't get angry. But when I do, see, first of all, there's nobody that can intervene. No. I'm just saying, what are you saying? I should not talk. There's nobody that can intervene. Because I don't get angry, everybody knows. Hey, the devil too knows. This is what they are doing, God. I don't get angry. But when I do, so, now that we know that when you do, you are a madman, should we give you trophy for not getting angry, but getting angry? The only one who is proud of you right now is the devil. I cannot boldly say I'm pastoring that person. You pride in the fact that your anger is madness. That's nonsense. I say, you don't know me. You don't know me. I can keep someone in my ass for 10 years and nothing will happen. That is a real estate. You house bitterness for 10 years. Ah! The devil supposed to come do IT for your place. 10 years. When people want to work in the first year, you come and do internship. In your house. What are you applying for? The role of the flesh. Where's your CV? Is there? Easily. When I do. That is nonsense. You will not be angry. So sometimes we don't know what it means to love your neighbor. Loving your neighbor means even when they offend you, you will not have a grudge. You will not be a grudge. And we've seen who your neighbor is, Abi. We also see that the brethren in church are also your neighbor. Abi? Ephesians 4. Let's look at that one. The people you have in church are also your neighbor. So it's not just, it doesn't just mean the people you live in the same house with. That's what we, that's the first, one of the first things we dealt with in this teaching, right? Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. When he says members of one another, he's talking about the body of Christ. And he's talking to the church in Ephesus and he says, we are neighbors. So, when someone offends you, because even in the church, people will offend you. There's no way. And he calls himself Christian, and he's going to church. That's the reason why he's offending you. He will offend you. Hallelujah. Didn't the disciples get angry with each other at the point? When the mother of John and James came, and she told Jesus, you put one at your left, one at your right. Discipleship died now. Anybody that is saying Jesus, that's what I want to do now. Oh, one at the left, one at the right. So we that are here, we are fools. We don't have mother that can come and talk. That's why Jesus intervened. He said, no. The greatest among you is the servant. So, they had dissension. That's the foundation apostle. They had fights. Didn't Paul fight with Barnabas? But let me take a side. Didn't Barnabas fight with Paul? Because Paul was the one that was right. Yes, Paul went to the church and said, would you want to follow us? And they said, Silas. And Barnabas said, and then I'll take Mark. So the church recommended Silas. Hallelujah. No offense to Barnabas. You can't get offended. He's walking this way. Hallelujah. But Paul and Barnabas, the fault. So, even in the church, people will offend you. Your pastor will. Your cell leader will. Your fellowship coordinator will. But you know what? You must not bear a grudge. It's what we learn as neighbors. So, you have to fight it. Someone is just in your heart that you're not happy with. Fight it. The issue is not the person. The issue is now you. Is that clear? That's gone beyond the person. The issue is that the devil is working on you. And I've always said it. Listen to this one very well. Every time you feel mistreated or you feel maltreated in the church, the devil is working on you. We should not feel maltreated. You feel, nobody loves me now. It's click. Everybody just looks at me somehow. Okay? That's the devil talking to you. If it is clique, go and join one. Or what do you want me to say? If you see that there's a clique, you too, join one. Go and meet Sister Moyo. Say, I want to be your friend. Is it hard? It's not hard. Try knowledge. You go so not tell. Meet Prophet. I want to be your friend. I don't know which kind of friend you will do with him though. Because we don't reply your message on WhatsApp. Meet Brayo. I don't know. I feel we should talk more. Don't go and meet the sister or bro. The pastor said, I should not bear grudge. I feel maltreated. Come and treat me. Hallelujah. Thou shall not treat each other. Amen. You get what I'm saying? You should not feel maltreated. That's the devil working on you. So you come with thoughts. He says, sit down now. See how he's greeting. See how we will greet you. See how we greeted that one now. See how we will greet you. The funny thing is that the person now comes to you and just says, hey, what's up, Jerry? See now. But he's rushing to tell me to what should he do? And I say, see now. See how we greeted me. There's something going on in his mind. There's nothing going on in his mind. Someone greeted me one time. Not yet. Not in church yet. Apparently, I just did. Yes. Because I was thinking about something. Now, that should not be the case every time. I was thinking about something. I was engrossed. I was looking at how I was going to maneuver my way between Yaba and coming back to work because I had to quickly go to Yaba. I was thinking, and you are greeting me. I'm just still thinking how I would take an excuse from my boss. You get what I'm saying? So, depending on that case, I say, apparently, I want to tell someone else that I snub me of everybody. This can't be now. Who am I? I'm a fellow man like you. Why should I snub you? What do I have that you don't have? The Spirit of God? You have it. Bible? You have it at home. What else? What else? Only brother has something that I don't have. I don't know what he has, but I don't have it. Amen? I'm bro, bam! He takes last in a particular thing. I don't have it. When we play Monopoly, he takes last. I don't have that last spirit. He has it. The brother has it. Amen? But you see, so why should I snub you? That, when the person came to me, the person that brought the individual to me, I said, this person was saying he was not snub. And the pastor, she said you snub. I said, what day was that? I said, I'm very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I'll make it up to you. Would you like to go out to eat? I said, at the end, you're not a snub. Me. Akubami. Snub care. Rob me. Say, hallelujah. Don't overestimate your importance. Hallelujah. Whatever you have now, God could have given someone else. Or whatever you are, whatever position you are in, someone else. So, we learn from God's word how to be good neighbors. Don't bear a grudge. Don't avenge. So, the primary way that I'm a good neighbor starts with my reactions to people. My reactions to people around me. Love does not seek vengeance. Love does not seek to be right. Doesn't seek to be right. So, how am I a good neighbor? I don't care who's right, I don't care who's wrong. I just want you to talk to me. It will shock the devil. Oftentimes when you walk in love, you will see the shock. Is that it? Because they are shocked. They are not expecting you to come. They are not expecting you to say, let's. So the devil is shocked and say, why this one come now? The devil rejoices in separation. God rejoices in reconciliation. As I taught you last year, that you don't separate from friendships. How many remember the teaching? You don't let go of friends. It's only the devil that rejoices in broken relationships. I have all of you on Instagram and Twitter. Always shouting, everybody will break up last. You see a relationship, the first thing in your mind is, breakfast to go round. You think I don't know about it. Then I say, everybody go chop breakfast. And what they call breakfast is break up. And so, when you see break up, you laugh. Breakfast don't read this one. You are a child of the devil. At least for that very moment, you are a disciple of darkness. God rejoices in reconciliation, not separation. Not separation. So, what do I now do if someone offends me? Matthew 18. Jesus already gives us what to do. Matthew 18 from your Bibles there. Any other questions now, please? No, bring the basket. So Matthew 18. You there? Verse 15. So read from verse 15 to verse 20 together. Or verse 22. 18:22. We ready? Where to go? Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him between, if he will hear you, you have what? So that's number one. If someone offends me, Bible teaches primarily to go to the person. So, what's the name, bro? Chinedu. So Chinedu offends me. Or I offend Chinedu. That's better, Abby. That's better. You see, that's better. So, the first thing, if I offend Chinedu, the first thing that should happen is, you come to me. You say, this is what I feel that happened. me. This is what me, what you did. See, don't hide it. When someone offends you, you don't go to another person. The Bible teaches you go to that person. Don't bring a third party in yet. That is where the flesh starts from. That's where the devil starts working from. And we'll get there. Don't bring someone else into it. So if I offend you, I will come to you, or you come to me. Between both of us. What am I going to do when I come to you? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what pained me. You also hear your grievances, right? And then that's it. And we settle with them. Bible says, when you do that, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. So what if he doesn't listen? Oh yeah, verse 16. If he will not hear you. So you get where that is coming from now. So when you say, in the matter of two or three witnesses, it's not prayer. It's not prayer meeting. It's love walk. He say, if he will not hear you, then you take two more. Abi? Or one more after. One or two more. So, who will be the most appropriate one or two? Someone he will listen to. And someone who also seeks reconciliation. Don't take the whiner. Don't take the one who rejoices in broken relationships. Take his pastor. So, you offend me. Come, Tosin, let me use you as an example. You are too far. Brother, welcome. So, he offends me. Or I offend him. What he is going to do is, he's going to come to me. Tell me my fault. That is what I did wrong. And what he feels. So, the way you're going to say the fault, you are going to get the brother. Now you now go and say, you know that's how you did last year. That's not how you will say it to. Say, you know this is not the first time you are doing this thing. Let's be frank. Frank to call Viviani. He said, let's be frank. This is not the first time you are doing it. But, you know me, I always forgive. So what are you saying? That he is the devil. No, you are not going to get your brother that way. What you do is, I think we are the misunderstanding. I think, see how I'm presenting my case. I think we are the misunderstanding. I think, maybe I was wrong too. So you are also going to take the door of Mr. Long. But this is what you did that I maybe misinterpreted. I don't know. You can shed more light. But when you did and did this, I felt somehow. But I don't know. It could feel right to you. But me, that was why I reacted the way I reacted. But I'm sorry. You know you're going to get your brother that way. Not come. We have to talk. We need to talk. You know, you see, man. And you got to say, Christian. You know, pastors already told us. Me, I knew what pastor said. I knew what pastor said. I don't know about you. I don't know about you because me, I'm a child of God. That's not to get your brother. So he says, if he listens, then we are fine. I've gained my brother. But if he doesn't listen, so if I don't listen, what he will do is he will take one or two more people. Not so that they can witness that he's the child of God and I'm the child of the devil. He's taking them to beseech me. Imagine someone offends you and you're seeing the one taking people to beg. That's the Bible. So he's going to take one or two. One or two will be probably my pastor, probably my father, people who I will listen to, people who also are wise enough to know that. Not someone that will come and say, okay, tell me your stories. You two, why did you do like that? Not someone like that. It's someone who is going to judge the situation right. One or two more. That is that in the mouth of, that in the presence of two or three witnesses, who are the two? If he brings one, they are the two witnesses. If he brings two, three witnesses. That makes sense? And in the presence of two or three witnesses, the truth is established. What truth? The truth that I want to gain my brother. The truth that I want reconciliation. The truth that I don't want us to separate. The truth I don't want us to fight. So the truth is established in front of those witnesses. What if he doesn't listen again? Verse 17. That's it. If you will neglect, tell it to the church, and the publican. So he says, he didn't say you come and carry mic and tell it to the church. It's the ecclesia, the called out one among the church. That is the elder of the church, actually. That's the pastor. So he says, if you take two or three witnesses, his cell leader, or his unit leader, his prayer, his study group coordinator, you've told them the witnesses. He's still rebuffed. He said, call the ecclesia, call the church. That's the pastor. Call the pastor. Explain to the pastor. He says, if you will now neglect the pastor, you yourself, you know that's right. If you now not listen to the pastor, say, leave him. Let him be unto you an Ethan and a publican. What is Ethan about him? His attitude. That is, a Gentile. So let him be, just see him as he's walking in the flesh. He's going to come around. Why? Because you have spoken to him personally, one. Eh? So the first thing is not to go and tell people. The first thing is to go to that person. Are you listening to me, Glorious House Church? The first thing is not to go and tell himself there. The first thing is to go to him personally. Settle it with him. If he will not listen, you now call his study group. A leader, his cell leader, his people who are close to him. Who you know that they are also mature enough spiritually to talk to him. If you will not listen, all of you go to the pastor. He still will not listen to the pastor. Let's leave him. That's what Jesus thought. Can we read verse 18 now? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall lose on earth. So, binding and losing has to do with forgiveness. The word bind is the word D-O. D-E-O. Whatsoever you will restrict on earth is restricted in heaven. Whatever you lose, L-U-O, L-U-O. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So binding, what am I binding in that place now? Eh? I'm binding offense. I'm binding unforgiveness because I don't want it to. Right? I'm going to restrict unforgiveness. I'm not going to allow it to come into our relationship. I'm going to bind it. What am I losing? Eh? What am I untying? I'm untying forgiveness from my heart. I'm untying reconciliation. So, Jesus says, when you do that, when you follow, when you gain your brother, you have bound unforgiveness and you have loosed forgiveness. And that's what is in heaven. Is it making sense? Verse 19 now. So it's not about casting out demons. Whatever I bind, I shall bind them. That's love work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's love work. So you can see that when you read the passage in its full context, you get what it's talking about. Alright, verse 19 now. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree, it shall be done for them by my Father. Okay, so what is it, prayer meeting? Is it two of you shall agree? Is it prayer? Who are the two that are agreeing? The one who was offended and the one who is seeking reconciliation. That makes sense? So if two of you shall agree concerning reconciliation, it shall be done by my Father. That means what Jesus is saying is, I am in the midst of reconciliation. And that's why he now said in verse 20. Can we read verse 20 together? For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So he is in the midst of reconciliation. Two or three, the witnesses, the two parties involved, where they are gathered in my name. So it's not prayer. I think that if you read it through, you actually can see that now. Where they are, we've taught this before, walking in law. You can listen to it. Working in love is about tracks. We talk about 2 months. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In the midst of conciliation. So Jesus is not found in gossip. He's not found in slander. He's not found in separation. He's found where? In reconciliation. So I forgive people. I forgive people. I walk in love. Alright. So, that's how to react to people who offend you. Right, verse 21. Then Peter came unto him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Should I do it 7 times? Eh? You know when he said 7 times, 4 of the apostles already pitching him. It's too much. 7 is too much. Say 3. Say 2. How often should I forgive him? Peter said, should I do it 7 times? Sounds religious. I've tried. Can we verse 22? Jesus said, I say unto you, unto 7, in a deal, it will take something for someone to offend you 70 times. That means that person is the devil. You go to him first time, you get your brother, he offends you again. 490 times in a day. even in a lifetime, someone cannot offend you 490 times. So Jesus says 7 times is not enough. You cannot exhaust the chances for reconciliation. We go again and again and again. Forgive them. Understand them. Gain in my brother. So, how many times has that person offended you? Once, he still has 489 chances.
Hallelujah.
So, you are walking in the flesh superly. If you can't forgive one, he still has 489 chances in one day.
Hallelujah.
Love of God is abroad, is shed abroad in my heart. I find it easy to forgive. I find it easy to sacrifice. I find it easy to understand people. I'm not proud. I don't walk in the flesh. I don't seek after my own. I don't seek revenge. I don't bear grudges. The Spirit of God is at work in my life. I'm a child of God. That's how children of God act. Forgive. So our neighboring starts with, look at what Jesus just said. That's why I went to Matthew 18. Listen to what I was just saying. I want to progress now. He said, when someone offends you, you go to him. That means our being a good neighbor starts with our conversations. So, loving my neighbor starts with the conversations I have. Jesus doesn't say, when someone offends you, you go and meet another person. A offends B, then A, then B now goes to meet C. I said, do you know what you did? When I started, people say I've started. Do you know what he did? Okay, well, I'll tell you. Let's say, then C will now say, with everything you have done for him, then C goes to D. Don't tell anybody. This thing, don't tell anybody that I told you. Don't go by me. You know that A and B are fighting. I don't know. And a pastor A, B, O. And if he's saying he's a study group, he's a study leader. Just don't tell anybody. I don't want to ally in this church. Don't tell anybody that I told you. Then D will say, I swear. But D has a friend that is closer than C. His name is E. So D goes to E. Pastor says, our friends should be close to us. Don't tell anybody this. I'm going to tell you. Confidential. Confidential. But do you know that A and B are fighting in this church? Don't tell anybody you. So E, at home, he will just go to a slip of tongue. Say, see this movie. That's not even at church. A and B, they fight. Then E's brother, F, edit. So F goes to G, who is also in that church. And say, even your church, you know that Kenny is fighting. G has Ed. Not because E told him. So from B to C, G has Ed. And before you know it, we have a network of the flesh. And once we have that, the Spirit of God cannot move well among us. Because he is in the midst of reconciliation. So, being a good neighbor starts with my conversations. See what he says? Being a bad neighbor starts with conversation. Learn not to gossip. The first sin in the Bible started with a conversation. The devil came to Eve and said, as God said, why are you talking about God at the back of God? As God said, you will not do this. Imagine, as the devil said it to Eve, Eve just did. Imagine Eve did not say anything. But Eve just said, it's not like that's what he said now. That's B to C talking. B and C are talking about A. It's not like he said anything. He just said, we should not touch, we should not... No, that's not it. Because he knows that in the day you do it, don't tell him. Don't tell anybody. It's a top secret. Top secret from the supernatural. Something no man has ever told you. He knows that in the day you do it. Conversation. That's how it started. The magic the devil came, and then Eve said, please, I don't have time for all this gossip. When God comes in the cool of the evening, come and see it. Would the devil have come? I'm just painting it in my head. That's the same way. Someone comes to you and says, do you know that Sister Moyo? Tell the person, speak louder now. Don't let anybody be talking to you in low tones. Do you know that? Say, speak louder. I can't hear. You said, but shall I did what? That's how you know what? What do you say about Brashola? Are you not realizing? Okay. He says, I really did what to you? Ma! Don't let the servant talk to you in low tones. He was more subtle than every piece of the field. The servant will come after service.
Did you see the clothes that Broadway wore today?
If you are a smart Christian, what are you going to say? Ah, Broadway's clothes, is that what you're talking about? Broadway, someone is here. He said he likes your clothes. If you know me by my own principle, if you tell me something about someone, you know I'll call the person, Abby. I don't even know. I will call the person when you are there. I will tell you that I will call the person. And you know I will call the person. There's no room for back-end relationships. Whatever we cannot make known to the person I'm talking about, something is wrong with it. And that's why if I tell someone something about you at your back, I can say it in your presence. I only say the things I can tell you. And I'm not afraid to. Because I have told yourself there's something about you. When you are there, it happens, you know now. When you are there, I will not say, like I was talking about him for you. It's only the devil that goes through the back. Are you listening to me? It's only the devil that goes through the back. The first thing, the beginning was a conversation. As God said, you will not eat of every tree that is in the garden. Imagine he just said, see, I don't have time for all these things. When God comes, he's coming in the middle of the evening. When he comes, we will have a meeting, you say all these things. He will tell you what he said directly himself. No, Eve then said, see, that feeling that wants you to always know and hear everything is not from God. When you want to know and hear everything, you will find it easy to enroll in the flesh. A Christian must not want to hear everything and know everything. I don't like gist. It's what we have learned in Christ. That's why if I ask you a question, you are telling me story. You know, I don't be looking at you. When you are done, I'll tell you, you have not answered what I asked you. What I ask you is, where are you coming from? The issue is that myself and sister, that's not what I'm asking you. Why are you telling me this story? I don't need your story. That desire. I want to know what's going on. They say brother A and sister C, they are dating. What do you think is going to happen? Why do you want to know? That's what you came to church for. Rufufu, apropo. That's where sin starts from. Apropo-ish. Greek word, aprok. Used many times by the devil. Hallelujah. Suggestive of the flesh. She had heard that what? What did you say again? Come. Sir, this is the lesson. Don't let anybody make you a dumping site for gossip. For gist. Not on your WhatsApp. You're not talking about another member in your cell. Questions. Say, why are you telling me this now? He's going to shock the person. He's going to shock the gossip. As I'm telling me, I said, so what do you want me to do about this now? Why are you telling me? It takes two to gossip. Why are you telling me? What do you want me to do about the information? Okay. But you know I will tell this brochure, right? You know I will tell him. Because this is about him. You said it about him. Don't tell him now. Don't tell him. I don't want you to tell him. Conversations. Yeah. Don't gossip. It's not of the Spirit of God. To catch information, NTA, you can't beat the rich. Your broadband is bigger than DSTV. Christian, that's not being a good neighbor. Let's see what Moses said about being neighbors. In Leviticus 19:16. Now I'll try to close on this one. Learning something? Leviticus 19, verse 16. Can we read together, everybody? So that it stays in your own head too. Once you go, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither thou shalt stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am. So how do I be a good neighbor? I don't go up and down as a talebearer. All the gist is on your tongue. Have you heard? Taking it. You be a good neighbor. It's part of neighboring. You are not a talebearer. Find Exodus 23. Let's get the account of the prophet. Exodus 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You will not raise a false report. False report, as long as you don't want the party that is involved to hear, is false report. Because we don't know what he did. So, if Pam comes to me to tell me about Deborah, it's false report until I hear what Deborah did from Deborah. until the three of us come, until the three of us talking about it. And you know what? If you are not their pastor, excuse yourself. You say, hey, pastor, they called me, it's the three of us. Excuse yourself. Bring a party that can intervene. Don't want to hear every gist. Preserve your mind. Guard your heart. Is it making sense? Proverbs. Of course, you know the essence of Proverbs, right? It's written to the son. My son, which is the Israel of God. We taught that already. I will still probably look at it more. Proverbs. Proverbs 10. So gossiping is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Beyond the fruit of the Spirit is gossip. Oh. You will not be a tale-bearer among your people. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Now read verse 18 to 19 together, everybody. Wherever I call, we are reading together. Once you go. Lying leaves. I mean, our altar is slander, is a fool. In the multitude of words, they wanted not sin. But he that refrains his lips is what? That is, if you hide hatred with lying lips, and you are uttering a slander. Slander is whatever you hide from the party that is involved. He says, if you hide your hatred in a lying tongue, and you utter a slander, say you are a fool. It's not me, it's a description given by the word of the God. In the multitude of words, they wanted no sin. And when you talk too much, sin is found lurking. Being talkative is not a fruit of the Spirit. They ask you, hey, you have given up A to Z. Who asked you? If you do that often, you will not be a good neighbor. Because by the time you talk, you want to find something to talk about. And the Bible was so strong on women, especially. I started again. Yes, but we'll get in and strong on it. Hey, men, some men, hey. They should put just be delivered. An hypocrite with his mouth, we what? Destroy his neighbor. Are you that? Is that you? No. Verse 13. A tale-bearer reveals secret, but he that is of faithful spring conceals the matter. A tale-bearer reveals secret, but he that is of faithful spirit. So when you are a tale-bearer, you are not faithful. When you are a gossip, you are not faithful. Anything they tell you, you go and tell another person. You are not faithful. The scripture teaches against that. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man sows strife. A whisperer separates the best of friends. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer actually a gossip. Have you heard? He says he separates the best of friends. When someone comes to you with a gossip, knows that he's trying to sow strife, and you're not going to allow that. I would say send away this corner, and prayer will end. Alright. Proverbs 17 verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Proverbs 17 verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. But he that repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 18 verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Can we verse 8? The words of a tale-bearer, and they go down to the innermost part. Don't be a tale-bearer. If you're a tale-bearer, it says you are a fool. That mouth is what we call your destruction, and makes you enter into contention. Alright. Verse 21, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, you know how to use your tongue. Don't be a gossip. Moses already says, a good neighbor does not go up and down bearing tales. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goes about as a tale-bearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. He says, don't have anything to do with him. When you see someone who is always bearing tales, he's always going from one brother to the other, from one sister to the other. He's the one that knows what is happening to everybody in church. He's the one that knows where Prophet is walking. He's the one that knows where he will walk next. He's the one that knows where Sister Joy wants to go and marry. He's the one that knows that the brother Owe is already married. He's the one that knows that Brother Shola wants to become a father. He's the one that knows that tale bearer. That tale bearer. Don't have anything to do with him. As he's coming to you, like, say, bro, don't be Jesus, they bring come. See, why are you saying that now?
Jesus zone. Hallelujah.
No Jesus zone.
Mark Obama.
Verse 26. Mind you, what I said is true. But where's marriage? Verse 26, verse 20. What do you guys always say when they say, you are the love of my life. Jesus, you are. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no tailbearer, the strife, can you see? Where there is no tailbearer, the strife will cease. The quarrel will cease. But you see, where he is, there is the devil. Verse 21. As coals to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a tailbearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the belly. How about Psalms? Psalm 34. David also has something to tell you about tailbearers and gossips. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Psalm 41, verse 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my oath. Again, if you are a tailbearer, you are walking after the devil because the devil that does this. Psalm 141. Just quickly to look through all of those. Still have more to look at. Psalm 141. So the Bible is actually strong against gossips. The Bible is strong against those who cho everywhere. You can't be a Christian and that's your lifestyle. It's wrong. Psalm 141. Learn to mind your business. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That should be your prayer. If you find yourself always bearing tales. Keep the door of my lips, Lord. Control your lips. Use your tongue to, use your lips to pray, to speak in tongues. Don't use to bear tales. Aproko. Let's go to the New Testament like you call it. 2 Corinthians 12. You there? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Can we together? For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you as much as I would. That I shall find you as such as would not, lest there be any debates, envies, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swelling and tumult. And lest when I come again, my God won't put me among you. So again, Paul is mentioning the works of the flesh. Because of his love for the church in Corinth, he's saying, when I come, I want to meet you in good. He has corrected them. First epistle, second epistle, I've written many things to them. Touch. And I say, when I come, I will not find these things among you. Hallelujah. So these are things that should not be found in the church of God. The debates. You know. Who is right? Who is wrong? You know. Envies. Wrath. You are angry. You know, strifes. Bad biting. You are the one that knows everybody. You want to be everybody's friend. Everybody to see you as the enemy. That's the wrong thing for a Christian to do. You learn something? How about Ephesians? Ephesians of the 4. And verse 29. Can we read together? Want to go? I'll wait for you. Ready? Want to go? Let not corrupt out of your mouth. But that which is good to use of edifying. That you may minister grace. So whatever does not minister grace to the others, whatever does not edify. So, someone is telling you gist. Ask the person, so how does this edify me? How would this make me better? Especially if it's about someone else. I'm not saying any gist. Someone is gisting you about, we're talking about politics in Nigeria. And I say, how does this edify me? Okay, calm down. Oh, you're talking about, how Chelsea is a very bad club. I find that hard to say, but it's fine. It is well. How can you find it hard to say? That's a girl. Someone is talking about Chelsea and their woes. No. And then you are now saying, how does that find me? No, that's not what we're talking about. Something that has to do with another person, right? Especially when it comes to your local church. You know, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Whatever should come out of your mouth should minister grace to the hearers. So that makes sense? That makes sense? Do we still have any epistles? Yes, very well. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, you there? Verse, 9. Talking about the qualification for bishop or pastoring or leadership. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let these ones also be first proved. Let them first use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Can we verse 11 together? Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things, not slanderers, not people that talk about, not people that talk, they speak down on others. No. They must be faithful in all things. This is why how we said their wives. When I said the epistle actually had more emphasis on the women, it's true. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Let's have verse 11. But the younger widows refuse when they have begun to watch one thing against Christ. They will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Can we verse 13 to 14 together? And when they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tatters also, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide their house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak. So he says younger women, when they don't have a job, they will be going from house to house. Idle, busybodies, speaking the things that does not concern them. I trust that's not you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you are doing that, you are against God's word and you are not being a good neighbor. As a good neighbor, you don't slander. You don't hate. Okay? James. You know James is going to talk in this kind of issue. You need James. Because God's kind of wisdom does not support gossip. Does not support slandering. So does not support backbiting. James 1:26. If any among you seem to be religious and he bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Is vain. That is, true religion is that I can bridle my tongue. I've told you that the best time not to talk is when you feel like talking. You know, when you feel like there's something to say, you keep quiet. You keep quiet. Personally, I learn self with that. I learn self control with that. You know, that time when you have a point to make. When you know that if you drop this one down like this, just keep quiet a bit. Control it. Suppress it. Is that clear? Is that clear? Bridle your tongue. That's true religion. Then James chapter 4 verse 11. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, then you are not a doer of the law but a judge. That is, of course, the law there is actually the word of God. If you speak evil of your brother or judge your brother, then you are judging God's word and you are not a doer of God's word. Alright, so again we've seen in the epistle also that we ought not to slander, we ought not to gossip, and part of being a good neighbor is in our conversations. A whole lot of sin and occasion for the flesh would have been avoided if we bridled our conversations, if we kept them short. That makes sense? If we kept them short, if we kept them purposeful. Don't have purposeless conversations. Even when I'm talking about things in natural, Ronaldo versus Messi, it's purposeful. We know where we are going to. You know my stand. And it's clear. It's clear, we know who the goat is. Amen. 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 Alright, so let your conversation be purposeful. You see that's gist that you just sit down and be talking about anything. From one thing, you jump into another one, from one, it will end you in the flesh. In the devil's territory. So, we'll be good neighbors. We would love one another. We will speak well of one another. Don't say, did you know that? That mind that seeks to hear everything will give you occasion to walk in the flesh. Don't seek a partner with the devil. As God said. As God said. As Broadway said. As Sister Ginica said. As Sister Dora said. As Broad Faith. Did Broad Faith tell you? No, as God said, that's what the devil said. And he waited for a time where God was not with them. Where God was not talking to them. So every gossip models them, their lives after the evil one. So in the coming days, we are not ignorant, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are good neighbors, amen. One to another in the church of God, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our, what else, in our families, our spouse. You know, we are good neighbors. We trust God that we overcome the evil one, even this. How close to 2 Corinthians chapter 2? I can be sure I've closed. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We from verse 5 to verse 11. Are you there? Want to go? But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me. But in fact, that he may not overcharge you. Sufficient to such man is his punishment, which was to forget of men. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. Perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you, that you confirm your love towards him. For to this end also that right, that I may know the proof of you, whether you are obedient to no things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I also forgave, for yourselves forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest man should take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of the vice. So when he says we are not ignorant of the vice of the enemy, he's talking about unforgiveness. So again, if you are living in unforgiveness, you are living right in the devil's plan. That's where he wants to have you. He wants to have you cornered, cornered in bitterness, cornered in hatred. So we are not ignorant. Paul is saying, if someone offends you, forgive him. I have also forgiven him for Christ's sake. If someone doesn't, don't let the person overmuch his more sorrow. Cover him. Confirm your love towards the person. Because we are not ignorant of the vice of the devil. Hallelujah. How does the devil work? He first works in an environment of bitterness. Environment of anger. Environment of resentment. Environment of slander. He wants everything to scatter. He wants separation. That's how the devil works. That's how he operates. And we must not allow that. So every time you are angry, remind yourself, this is the devil's plan. Every time you are resentful, every time you are bearing a grudge, which you shouldn't, remind yourself, this is the devil's plan, but we are not ignorant. Hallelujah. We know how he wants to work, and we are seven times ahead. Amen. Learn something?